Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Musa Muhammad, Bernard Berrien. You look at these guys, who would you rather be throwing to, Len Dawson?
Well, I like the Colts receivers because they are on the same plane with their quarterback, Peyton Manning. I mean, they've been doing it here now for a number of years, and it's just like second nature to those people. And that's the most important thing, that you understand the moves of your receivers, you know, and how they, for example, running a sideline pattern, an out pattern. Everybody does it different, and you have to know exactly how your guy does it. And everybody that does it on your team, and Peyton Manning knows these things. And if he gets time, I don't care how good the Bears' defense is, he can pick them apart because he is that good of a quarterback. The key to this game for the Bears is going to be getting some push up the middle. Get by those defensive tackles, getting in the face of Peyton Manning. Not necessarily to sack him, but if you get some hands in his face, maybe he cannot see what everything is going on down the field. And oftentimes, if that is the case, he's late in delivering the ball, or maybe he delivers that ball and he doesn't see a safety down there and he could get some turnovers. So I like Peyton Manning's chances.
Well, here's somebody that you may remember from the past, Stephon Page, formerly for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that's who I throw to, Stephon. That's right.
There you go. Well, here's something from Stephon looking at these two teams.
Receivers, actually, I think they have a nice receiving core because Grossman counts on those receivers. They make him look really good. There's times when Grossman not really doing as well, but his receivers, you saw Bernard make that great play. It wasn't the best throw, but he had to actually make a good, as far as going back and attacking the football, he made Grossman look good on that one long one that he caught.
He made Grossman look good on that last one. Final comment, Leonard, is to me, at this stage of the week, it's hard to predict. It sounds like you're favoring the Colts. What's your pick and what's your score?
Well, I think this is a game of two things, defense and quarterbacks. A quarterback cannot have a poor performance and expect to win. I look for Peyton Manning to have a good performance. I mean, he's got the better shot of having a good performance than Grossman has because he's been in more important games. And Grossman has not been the reason that they have won these games. It's he just didn't give them away. But in this ball game, when the pressure's on the line, I'm going with the Colts.
I'll go with that, too. And thanks for going with us today, Len. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. Have a good week.
I will.
All right, we're switching. Thank you, sir. We're switching again. We're doing lots of sports today on a Monday on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline. Rick Bucher, around the NBA, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Nick?
I'm fine. You know, I didn't think I'd have to bring this up, but I'm so biased anyway. But 17 in a row, everybody's talking about it after one loss. If they eliminate that one loss, it's 32 wins in a row. They'd be staring at the all-time record. Just how good is this team? Are you there, Rick? Well, while we wait to get Rick back, we're going to talk about the accomplishment of that many wins in a row. Because in reality, if you look at the history of streaks sometimes can be misleading. But the teams that had 15 or more wins in a row usually won the NBA championship. Rick, how important is this? What does this say to you about their ability versus the Dallas Mavericks to win the ultimate championship?
For me, it's not so much the number of victories in a row, but it's how they're winning them and who they're beating and how they're beating them. I've had a chance to talk to the Suns, and they don't look at it. You know, if you're on a hot streak and you have the right, you hit the right part of the schedule, and you hit teams on a lot of back-to-backs or whatever, you can put together some nice winning streaks, and they're not necessarily representative of how your team is. What impresses me with the Suns is the fact that the teams that they're supposed to beat decisively, they are doing exactly that, and the teams that are the quality teams in the league, they are playing well against them and winning them down the stretch, as you're going to have to do against the best team. So there are no illusions. There's no deception in this stretch of victories for the Phoenix Suns. I believe that the Dallas Mavericks are every bit as good as the Phoenix Suns. Ultimately, it's going to come down to this. Who do you trust more in the clutch, with the ball in his hands, in the final 30 seconds to make the shot or make the right play, Steve Nash or Dirk Nowitzki? And for my money, I would go with Steve Nash.
It, to me, it's a little bit like Peyton Manning and what we talked about earlier in this show about the increased ability of the Colts to have every answer, no matter what the situation, no matter what the strategic situation is, and they've added depth as well. Can you go into more depth, literally, for us about how the Suns team has more ability to adjust to the unpredictable matchups, the unpredictable circumstances of each game?
Well, they've just, one, they have more depth, certainly, than they've ever had before, with the addition of Amari Stoudemire. 2 years ago when they had Amari, they didn't have Rajah Bell. Leandro Barbosa has evolved into a better three-point shooter. So Boris Diaw is in the mix. He wasn't the last time we saw Amari Stoudemire playing anywhere close to this. The beauty of this team right now is it used to be when you took Steve Nash off the floor, it was a matter of how many points were you going to give up, and hopefully you wouldn't lose too much ground so that when he came back and you got rolling again, you could make up for it. Now, with Boris Diaw being a playmaker, with Leandro Barbosa being a more all-around accomplished guard, they're able to survive without Steve on the floor. And then when you bring him back, it's that big uh-oh. You know, teams look at it and go, man, he wasn't on the floor, and they added 3 points to their lead. Now what's going to happen? I would also say that Nash has just become a better all-around player. He's become he's more in tune with all the pieces that he has, and he's making the most of them, and he has a little bit of an edge to his game this year that we haven't seen previously. It's why, again, I give them the edge over the Dallas Mavericks, because I see a sense of urgency and a sense of almost desperation with the Phoenix Suns to get it done this year. That, as good as the Dallas Mavericks are, I don't know that they have the same urgency.
I would call it, when you say edge, I was wondering what you meant by that. Now I think I do. It's more like the killer instinct. It's the fact that in the fourth quarter, even when you're not playing well, you're going to make it important enough to win every single game against every opponent. You're going to close off the guys you're supposed to beat. And in the NFL, the NBA, whatever sport it is, that's, to me, the fundamental basis of consistency.
Not just in the fourth quarter, but Steve seems to be sending the message to teammates that every possession and every game is important, that this is all, these are all building blocks. Let's not leave anything undone. Let's not be able to look back and say, you know, if only we had done this, if only we had taken this game a little more seriously, it might have been a double. And let's face it, I mean, the home court advantage could loom very large when it comes down to the Suns and the Mavs. It could be the difference. And so when you're rolling into Atlanta and you're thinking, or you're playing the Bobcats or the Memphis Grizzlies, those are the games that you have a tendency to say, you know what, we can sneak in and out of here with a victory. And those are the ones that end up blowing up in your face, and you look back and you think, man, we could have had home court advantage if we simply hadn't relaxed that particular night. But Steve Nash seems to be making a concerted effort to make sure that his team is not going to have one of those letdowns that they will later look back on and say, that might have cost us the championship.
We're talking with Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine. Senior writer, is also a regular contributor on ESPN. Let's talk about defense in our last minute and a half, 2 minutes here, because everybody gives the edge to the Mavericks in that. What do the Suns have to do, and what are they doing right now that convinces you that their defense will step it up to that higher level that they have not had in the playoffs in the past?
The primary reason people say that the Dallas Mavericks have a better defense is because they have some big shot blockers inside that can be intimidating in Dasagan Ajop and Eric Dampier. And for the Suns, the key is going to be to play at a pace that the Mavs cannot keep those guys on the floor, because they're going to be matched up with Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion, and every basket made or missed by the Dallas Mavericks, the Suns are going to be blown down to the other end and scoring on layups. And at some point, Avery Johnson is going to be forced to say, my bigs cannot stay with these guys And conversely, they're not scoring consistently enough at the offensive end for us to keep them on the floor. So in a lot of ways, their defense, the Suns' defense on the Mavs, their ability to de-emphasize or take away what the Mavs use as their offense is going to be through their offense. By the way they play offense is going to dictate who the Mavs can have on the floor, and they're not going to be able to put their best defensive players on the floor because they're going to need to keep scoring to stay pace with the Suns.
Final question, Rick Bucher, is the way the Mavericks let it get away against Miami, to me, is going to be a little bit like the way that the Colts were had it taken away for them last year because of the focus and the distraction of what happened with Tony Dungy and his son, that tragedy itself. So don't you think, to me, as much as I want the Suns, and I believe the Suns are going to win, I believe that the Mavericks are going to have that hunger because they know that they just did not have that killer instinct at the end.
I agree. Certainly they have that hunger. There's no question they're on a mission. But at the end of the day, who is it that's going to display that killer instinct? I mean, for me, either have that killer instinct or you don't. It's not something that you say, hey, you know what?
You can't just turn it on.
Killer instinct today. And so that's what they have to prove to me. Now, I believe that Josh Howard, who was injured for much of that Miami series, he's the one X factor. To me, he's the one guy who was unafraid to step up. The other guy who has it is Jerry Stackhouse. The reason that I question whether they will be able to get it done is, one, Stackhouse, as much of a killer instinct as he has, was worn down by the end of the season last year and couldn't get it done when it really mattered most. I don't see him getting any younger, and I'm not sure I don't see how that's going to change this year. So it puts a lot of onus on Josh Howard to get it done. And the question is, will Avery Johnson take the ball out of Dirk Nowitzki's hands to have Josh Howard go win it? Now, I don't know that Avery thinks the same way I do, but I can just tell you, if there was one guy on the Mavericks that I would look to say, this is the guy who won't blink when it comes time to making the right play, that guy for me is Josh Howard over Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, thank you, Rick. We appreciate it, buddy. As always, Rick, you are the best. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
Rick Bucher, ESPN The Magazine. Peter Kostas. Tiger Woods never blinks, does he?
He never blinks, at least not on the golf course.
You know what? Before we go to our final segment, this is a quick clip for you. As you look at Roger Federer, we've talked about this before, and I think you seem to lean to a little bit more respect for Roger Federer because of the intensity, athleticism, the competitiveness of that sport versus what Tiger has accomplished.
What I find to be very interesting is the fact that it's Tiger Woods and his accomplishments that are giving Roger Federer more credibility. If it weren't for Tiger, I don't think anybody would be talking about Federer, and they should be, because what he's accomplished has been phenomenal. But ultimately, Tiger's trying to go for a record that's never been reached before on the PGA Tour, and they're looking around for contemporaries, and Roger Federer is the benefactor of that.
When we come back, Peter Kostas, in our final segment, will give us some sense of the historical achievements between a Roger Federer and a Tiger Woods. Seventh heaven it is. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.